morning. It's good to see you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we dedicate this time of worship unto Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are holy, worthy of reverence, worthy of respect. We stand in awe of You and worship. Help us today as we sing Your praises, as we hear Your word proclaimed. Help us to be strong and give testimony of Your work in our lives and the evidence of Your work and Your goodness in the way that we treat other people, the way we talk about You and love people in Your name. Help us today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. That's our desire to live out the scripture and the word of God. Would you stand as we begin singing together? A mighty fortress is our God.
worship. All of those of you that are our guests today, we're so thankful the Lord's led you to First Baptist Church to join us as we worship. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. We are glad you are here today.
Time the choir will share a message and song. You are my all in all. Let's worship the Lord as the choir sings. Thank you. We sing together now our offertory hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We'll remain seated until the third stanza, which begins, Pardon for Sin. So let's sing together this great and powerful anthem of our faith, hymn number 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you. stand for the last stanza.
Pardon for sin and a peace that
Heavenly Father, we come for your presence this morning. Thankful, Lord. Thankful and rejoicing that we have a God that loves us, that cares for us, that provides for us, Lord. Lord, that we can come to you in prayer and bring up our petitions, and Lord, you can answer them according to your will. We pray, Lord, that we will align our will with yours, find our delight in you, that you may give us desires of our heart. Lord, we're thankful that you can use us, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom and in your work. Lord, we ask this morning that you bless this offering. Lord, just multiply it and for the furtherance of your kingdom in all things. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken, Karen, for leading us in worship, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're talking about fear. Ken sings about fear, and whom shall I be afraid? So we're going to open that up and talk about that. Today in Malachi chapter 3, if you don't know where Malachi is located in your Bible, just go to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, and flip back a page or two, and you'll find the last book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi. Malachi, in chapter 3, we find this pattern that really we find in the entire Old Testament. And there's a pattern that you can find in the Old Testament, and one of those patterns is this. There's sin from God's people, and then because of that sin from God's people, then God pronounces judgment on that sin of his people. Once you see that judgment, then you'll see God's people repenting of that sin, having repenting hearts, turning back to the Father. Father, we have sinned in your eyes, and so we turn back to you. We repent of our sin. And then after that repentance, then you'll always find the same thing from God the Father to his people. It's been this way from the very beginning, and it is still this way today. Then you find God's grace and God's mercy for repentant hearts. And so you find that in chapter 3, the coming day of judgment, a call to repentance, God's grace and God's mercy. So you see that in Malachi chapter 3. But in the midst of all of this sin, judgment, repentance, mercy, grace, in the midst of all that, you find this theme that we also find all throughout this passage, but throughout Malachi and throughout the Old Testament, that is the theme of fear. Fear is one of the greatest motivational tools of all time. Let me say that again. Fear is one of the greatest motivational tools of all time. Fear can motivate us and move us to do really good things. Fear can also paralyze us and make us do really bad things. Fear can be good. Fear can be bad. Fear can be positive. Fear can be negative. But one thing we know for certain about fear is that if we've all got it, then God gave it to us. We have fear in us from our Creator. So God the Father created us with this God-given emotion, and it can be used in order to motivate us to be what God's called us to be. It can be used in us. God can use it to make us be what God's called us to be, to do what God has called us to do. But it can also be the worst thing in the world, and it can paralyze us. Literally, it can clench us and paralyze us dead in our sin. Boy, there is a lot of people in the world that you and I live in that are paralyzed in their sin. Fear has many faces, and I really do. I wanted to be able to talk about all of these different faces of fear, and I just don't have the time to go through all of that. I remember a couple of years ago on a Wednesday night, I did that. We just talked about all of the different faces and things that fear gives to us. And I remember going through talking about a guy that was basically the creator, the father of the modern day scary movie, the horror film guy that kind of is the guy that created that whole genre, Halloween, Friday the 13th, all of those scary movies. And when he created that whole thing that we now know of as the scary movie, the horror movie, it was all based on fear. And it was all based on what we do when we are afraid, how we act when we are afraid, how we respond. And it's not just something physical, but it is also very emotional with us as well. And so fear has all of these different faces. When I was a little boy, I was scared to death of my Uncle Norman. My Uncle Norman scared me as much or more than anybody that I'd ever known. Still to this day, when I think back to being a little boy and being around my Uncle Norman, I still kind of shiver up and down my spine. He scared me to death. His wife, my Aunt Margaret, scared me more than my Uncle Norman. She was scarier than he was. They were tough and they were hard. And it's not that they were mean to me, but they were just mean, tough, hard people. And every time, the two or three times a year that I was around my Uncle Norman and my Aunt Margaret, man, I just wanted to be invisible because they scared me to death. When my mother's mother, my mamaw, when she was a young girl, she got married and she had Uncle Norman. That husband of hers died and she married another man and had my mom. He died. When my mother was six, he died. So by the time my mamaw was 38 years old, she had already buried two husbands and had these two children, stepchildren, siblings that she had to raise in the 1930s and the 1940s. That was not easy for a single mother in that day and time. It's not easy now. It certainly was not easy back in those days. Now, my mama and my Uncle Norman were as different as A is to Z. My mama was A and Uncle Norman was Z. My mama was the sweetest, most loving, kind, caring, gentle, warm, loving human being that's ever lived. And I say that because it was my mama, but you can ask my boys about their mamaw. You can ask my wife about her mother-in-law, and they'll all say, he's right. She was beautiful, she was sweet, she was kind, she was nurturing. I never remember my mama ever doing anything bad, or I mean, just the sweetest, most wonderful woman that you could ever, ever, ever know. One time when Sherry Manley's Sunday school class, Janice, was in that class and still is, and they drove down to Gadsden to go shopping one day. And my mama met them at the store where they were shopping. And that Sunday, Sherry Manley came up to me. She said, your mother is the most beautiful, sweet, wonderful lady that I think I've ever met. She is just wonderful. What happened to you? Wait, are you complimenting? Yeah. But she was. She was just the sweetest thing in the world. Well, my Uncle Norman was the exact opposite of my mama. Now, to his credit, my Uncle Norman was the sheriff of Harlan County, Kentucky. Harlan County, Kentucky, you heard me mention that last Sunday. Harlan County, Kentucky, coal mining hills of Kentucky in the 1960s and the 1970s. That was considered to be, they made a movie called Harlan County, USA, considered to be the roughest, meanest county in the United States of America. So my uncle was the sheriff of the meanest county in the entire United States of America. So to his credit, he had to be hard. He had to be mean. He had to be tough. And that spilled over into his just regular life. And two or three times a year when we would go to visit my two grandmothers in Harlan County, and we'd go see my mamaw. My Uncle Norman and my Aunt Margaret lived with her to take care of her. She was in a wheelchair, and so they lived with her to take care of her. And I can still remember going in, going and jumping into my mamaw's lap and loving, and oh, she was like my mama, sweet. And then Uncle Norman and I would pass in the hallway, and he'd go, Joel, Uncle Norman. And that was it. That was as far as it got. I never ran and jumped in Uncle Norman's arms. He was just a tough man. I feared my Uncle Norman. And when I say I feared him, I was afraid. I was scared to death of that man. I was scared to death of his wife, my Aunt Margaret, too. Now, there have been other men and women in my life since Uncle Norman and Aunt Margaret that I feared also, but it was the exact opposite. I feared them in the sense that I was in awe of them, that I had almost this sense of reverence around them, that I feared them in the way that a child doesn't want to disappoint his or her mom or his or her dad. And so there have been people like that in my life that I have feared, that I've been in awe of, people that I had this incredible, healthy respect for them. And then I, whatever I do in life, I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to disappoint her. So fear has all of these different faces. But when Scripture talks about fearing the Lord, it is talking about having this healthy respect for Him, not wanting to disappoint Him. God doesn't teach us to fear Him in the way that I was scared to death of my Uncle Norman and my Aunt Margaret. God teaches us to fear Him in the fact that He wants us to have this healthy respect for Him because of who He is. Because He holds life in our hands, in His hands. Because He holds our life in the palm of His hands. Our physical life, our eternal life. He wants us to fear Him, to be in awe of Him, to respect and to be reverent about Him. And He wants us to fear Him in the sense that we do not want to disappoint Him. He has given us life in the name of His Son. The last two chapters of Malachi, we have this underlying theme of fear. Malachi tells us in Malachi 3, verse 5, "At that time I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress the widows and the orphans, who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies." These people do not fear me. They do not trust me. They're not in awe of me. And those who do not know and love the Lord live like the sinners that they are, and they always have. Why? Because they don't know any better. They do not fear the Lord because they do not fear the penalty that they are going to have to pay for all eternity. He moves on in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you, those who fear me, you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture." So for those who do fear the Lord, we will be free from living with evil hearts and evil actions, and we will live instead with joy because we live with a healthy respect for the one who holds our eternity in the palm of his hands. Those who do not know the Lord, those who've never repented of their sin, and they put their trust and their faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives, there is all of these different reasons why they do not put their trust in Jesus, why they do not love the Father. There's many reasons, but one of the primary reasons is because of their arrogance and their pride. "I know better than you, Father. I know better than you, God. I trust myself, not you." And that arrogance and that pride leads them against the Father. He says in our text for today, Matthew 3, 16, 17, and 18, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other." That's called worship, by the way. We just in song, we just spoke to each other. And we spoke to each other in worship and adoration and praise of the Lord. "Those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. And the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and who always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And on the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. And I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Between those who serve God and those who do not." So how do we gain this healthy posture for fearing the Lord? And how does such fear square with a God who is all loving? And it may be that if I have a difficult time reconciling the concepts of a loving God that I see from the culture that I live in, and a God who is to be feared, it is likely that the problem lies not with God himself, but the problem lies with me and my faulty cultural definitions and misunderstandings. The culture that I live in wants to have this idea that God is all loving. Sure, he is. And by meaning all loving, that is, he accepts everything that we do and everything that we are. Oftentimes that misunderstanding scripturally then spills over into the church, and we find people who are followers who have this real misunderstanding of who God really is. Dave Kiesling gives me a lot of help here. My common view of a loving God is necessarily filtered through a cultural lens that has been diluted and softened, and it has softened the concept of love till it has become like butter left too long in the hot sun till no substance remains. Is that not a perfect picture? The culture that I live in has this view of God as something that is all loving. Yes, that he loves us and accepts us for all that we've done and all that we are doing. And if he doesn't, then we don't want any part of him. And that concept of God is kind of like butter left out in the hot sun. It has become useless. Still containing the essential elements of butter, but no longer able to stay on the knife, unable to hit its intended target. Similarly, I too often view the notion of fearing God through the prism of a fallen world in which earthly father and mother fell short of perfectly reflecting to me the great rewards of obedience. I learned the part about painful consequences of disobedience, yet often without the proper context of a father passionately wooing his child into the light. But from this verse, this passage, true fear of God will lead me to esteem His name. I will know Him. In my fear of Him, that I have become His possession, and that He has entered my name into His book of remembrance. There is coming a day when spiritual barrenness will be exposed, and I will be given a greater vision of the blessings of those whose hearts are truly His. And then Malachi says on in chapter 4, verse 1, that there is coming a day when the arrogant, those who are prideful, they will be burned like chaff in a burning, blazing furnace. He says, and then my gushy view of a loving God will be seen for what it is, a cheap imitation created by my own wishful thinking. The biblical definition of God's love is that God loved us so much that He gave His one and His only Son to die on the cross for our sin, to go in our place. As I oftentimes say when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I should have been the one on that cross. But Jesus went to that cross in my place. He said, Joel, you're not going to go on the cross and your sin is not going to be on the cross. But I'm going to go in your place on the cross. God loved us enough to take us off the cross, put His Son Jesus on the cross for the penalty of our sin. And if we repent of our sin, trust our lives into His hands, then He will save us and give us eternal life. And that means fearing the Lord, respecting who He is, and all that He has done for us in Christ Jesus. So because then of our love for our Heavenly Father, for giving us physical life, emotional, spiritual, everything that we have, everything that we are, for the love that God has given to us, we then in response, we love and fear are in awe of our Heavenly Father. We want to make sure that in everything we are obedient to Him. Kiesling writes, Lord, burn compromise out of me. Purify and refine me, Lord, so that I can experience the fullness of Your love. Fear can be good. Fear can be bad. Fear can lead us to do great things. Fear can lead us to be paralyzed. Yesterday we had our men's breakfast, and Dustin Hornbuckle, one of our young men, he basically gave his testimony. And in his testimony, he talked about several years back being diagnosed with cancer, his kidney. And he talked about, as a young man, hearing that diagnosis for the first time. Fear. Being afraid. Trusting then in the Lord. and how he walked through that fear. And every now and then in the testimony, Dustin would kind of look at us and say, "What are you afraid of?" And then he would tell a little bit more of his testimony. And then he would stop and say, "Well, what are you afraid of?" And then he'd tell a little bit more of his testimony. And then he'd say, "Well, what are you afraid of?" His point was simple. We're all afraid. We all have fear. What do we do with it? What do we do with that fear? Does it cause us to trust and fear the one who has life in his hands? Or does it paralyze us, grip us in the sin that we're living in? I pray that you and I make the right decision when it comes to fear. Father, thank you so much for a powerful word through Malachi. Those who are on their own do not fear the Lord. They will be like chaff in a fiery, burning furnace. Those who fear the Lord will be His. Will be in awe, reverence of who He is. All that He has done and given to us in the new covenant in Jesus. And will fear His holy name. That trust in the Father then spills over into everyday life. When we're diagnosed with cancer, when the family falls apart, when the job is no longer available, when life tumbles in, and our natural inclination is fear. Thank you, Lord, that we can turn that fear to you and trust our lives into your hands. If there's anybody that's here today, Father, that has never repented of sin and trusted you as Savior and Lord, then our prayer is today that they would repent of that sin, trust you, and allow the fear to be removed. For those of us that know you as Heavenly Father, we know you as the one who has given us life in the name of Jesus. May that fear be turned into trust, into the one who holds life in His hands. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is worthy of worship. If you've never trusted Jesus, then we've encouraged you today through the power of Malachi to trust in Him, to fear the Lord. If you need to come and join our church or come and pray, do that now as we stand, as we sing.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy and added to these, you are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy, Savior, Sustainer, you are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise.
Please be seated real quickly. What do we got first, Carson? All right, so Bart and Tammy Ballard, they came and joined our church this morning in our early worship. Bart and Tammy started coming over here about 2 or 3 years ago. They are from Braxton, Mississippi, and they bought a place. Imagine that, somebody buying a place on Lake Gunnersville from somewhere else. And so, like many people, they started then coming over and going to their place on the weekends from Mississippi. And then they started coming to church here. And the more they started coming to church here, the more they fell in love with not just Gunnersville, but with this church. And then all of a sudden, they were about here almost every single weekend. They would drive over from Mississippi just to get over here to be able to come to church and be a part of our church family. And so they are real close to retirement, and they're going to retire and move everything to Gunnersville, and Gunnersville is going to become their home. And so they came on today and said, we just want to go ahead and join with First Baptist. This is our church home now, and we want this to be the place where we worship and serve. So the next time that you see Bart and Tammy Ballard, you make sure that you say a word of encouragement to them as they eventually will then work their way to Gunnersville full-time and become part of First Baptist Church, all right? Mature adults, Scott's Orchard, Posey Restaurant, Cook Museum of Natural Science. Now, the old Lord's Supper table is still out there, but it's been moved, as is everything that has been moved. So it's still right out there somewhere. And the sign-up sheet is on, still on the old Lord's Supper table. Sign up to be a part of the mature adult day trip, all right? Then the Senior Adult Fall Festival, Thursday, October the 26th, Solitude Baptist Church. Ken, tell them about the singing.
Yeah, I'm going to be singing along with some of the other music directors in our association. We're going to put together a gospel quartet. We've got some great songs picked out, so come and be a part of that. And then Ray Lux is going to be speaking. Yeah. So
that'll be good, all right? Trunk or Treat's coming up last Sunday night of October 29. And so that's always such a fun night. Go ahead and put that on your calendar. Man, it's just gotten to be bigger and bigger and bigger to where it's just turned into a great night, all right? What else did you have?
Oh, no music activities this week. All the choirs and music things canceled. The youth choir will start back on the 22nd.
So if you'll notice, there's a lot of different things going on here at First Baptist Church. So on Friday, Chico Brutley and his movers came in, and they moved everything out of the choir suites and all the robe rooms and everything in the choir. Everything out of the office is gone. I mean, literally everything that we've got is all tucked away, nice and neat in the fellowship hall. And so we don't have any offices this week. So we're still going to function to some degree, so that if you need us, all you got to do is just call the church phone. It will then forward to one of our church secretaries. And I'm not going to tell you which one it forwards to. She got on to me for telling y'all that this week. So I don't know which one it's going to forward to. And she will then put you in the right place. So if you need us, just call us. We'll be around. But we don't have an office. There's nothing to do but come and stand in an empty room.
I don't know, Brother Joel. Your office is pretty amazing.
You reckon?
He's got an office made in the fellowship hall close to the Diet
Coke
machine.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
All right. When they were moving everything up, I said, I want all of my stuff right here by the Diet Coke machine. And put it right here where I can just walk right to it. So they did.
It's
right there.
Good.
It looks good. All right. So we're going to be around. Just, you know, Call us if you need us, but they're going to start tomorrow morning, mid-morning. They'll start ripping up the carpet from the end of the sanctuary, and it'll just go all the way around and all the way up, and that's what we'll be doing. The music suite upstairs with the children's worship area, so all that'll be going on all week long. Nothing Wednesday night. Blake planned it perfect. Fall break, we weren't going to do anything on Wednesday night anyway, so Anchored Adventures is gone for the week. It's just a perfect week for this to be done. Call us if you need us. Now, real quickly, as soon as we sing the final word, then we've got one more thing to do. We left Dick Maple's Sunday school classroom intact so that they could have Sunday school this morning. So if you'll just run in there real quick, grab a chair. There's a couple of end tables. We're going to take all that, bring it right around, and put it right in the sanctuary hallway just to get it out of the way. It'll take us about 2 minutes. If you can just help us with that real quick, we will be done with all of that. And that's the last thing that we've got to do.
We're also going to clear the platform area, so need some strong backs and help clearing the pulpit and the Lord's Supper table. We're going to put those back there. We should have one of those floats to put the heavy stuff on. Yeah. And Carson's going to help me get the sound equipment. We've got a wedding coming up this weekend, too, so Gracie Harrell's getting married. We're excited about that. Kind of want to get the stage ready for that.
All right, let's all stand and close by singing Awesome God. Yes, yes, in the fellowship hall, yes.
All right, thank you.
Our God.